Well, if you're not in Psalm 91, if you turn there, if you are not turned to that from reading earlier, as we'll take a little break this week and next week in the morning and afternoon looking at some Psalms, and then we'll get back to Genesis in the morning and Revelation in the afternoon. There's a commercial I remember seeing a number of years ago, insurance commercial, I think it was, where this young girl, she's standing in this picturesque meadow, and in the other part of the field in this commercial is this gigantic African rhino charging towards this girl that seems to be unmoved by this event. And in the commercial, this rhino gets closer and the words appear on the screen, "Trust is not being afraid." And a split second before the rhino tramples, it seems like, this helpless child, it stops, and the girl, her smile never stopping, reaches up and pets this animal, this rhino, on its massive horn. And the final words that appear on the screen, "Even when you're vulnerable." So trust is not being afraid, even when you're vulnerable. I don't know, something you do with insurance, but makes a point when you deal with Psalm 91, because it's about times when we feel very vulnerable, but we have faith in those times and in those trials when we are believers, as we learn the truth that this psalm talks about, taking refuge in the Lord, who is our rock and our refuge. James Boyce says of Psalm 91, "It's one of those special psalms been committed to the heart, this psalm, by thousands of people," he says. "Millions of Christians have turned to it with thankfulness in the midst of life's calamities." And it's true. It's a pretty well-known psalm, Psalm 91. But now in context, understand that Psalm 90 is about God's eternality, if you know that psalm, about how God is the dwelling place of his people. But it seems, scholars think, that Psalm 91 follows up to kind of right after that to make it personal. It's placed right after Psalm 90 to show practically how God is our dwelling place in the trials and difficulties of everyday life, and oftentimes very scary things and dangerous things that we can deal with as Christians and that we have to face. We have to understand some of the context here, because one of the striking features of Psalm 91 are the three movements that kind of outline the whole psalm. And it's these three movements, you can see them with the change in the pronouns that are used. The first movement in verses 1 to 2 is very clearly, you can see there, the pronoun "I," as the psalmist is getting very personal, and the pronoun "my" as well. He says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord," notice that "I," "He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." So there's a very clear focus about his testimony, about how this was personal for him, how he learned that God, through his experiences, had become his fortress, his confidence, his strength. And so he's expressing that, the psalmist, with the pronoun "I" and "my." But then the second movement we see in the heart of the psalm, the greatest amount of the psalm, in verses 3 to 13, and that's when the pronoun "you" is used. In fact, verse 9 in verses 3 to 13 is really the pivotal verse. We'll look at that. But here we see how he wants the people that are reading this and the people hearing about it to understand from his own experience what God had done in his life and how God can be their refuge as well. So there's two sections here in verses 3 to 13. 3 to 8, God's protection from many kinds of dangers. He wants the person listening to this to understand if they trust in God and make God their refuge, he can do this in their life as well. He can protect them. He can help them. And then in verses 9 to 13, the condition for such protection by God is given, and then the results if that condition is met. And that's in verse 9, that pivotal verse. "If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge," he says, "then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent." So that's the condition, faith. And we're going to talk as we go through this psalm. Hopefully you'll understand what that condition's really all about and what it means to make the Lord, who is the psalmist God, our refuge as well. So that's these verses here, 3 to 13, are at the bulk and heart of the psalm. And it shows us that Psalm 91 is about the psalmist sharing from his own experience of God coming through for him and how effective his faith in God was. And that God will do that for those who alone will learn to make him their refuge and what that faith is really all about. And then the final movement before we break down the applications here is in verses 14 to 16 at the end of the psalm. If we outline it, the final movement is marked by the divine pronoun I, as God speaks. Essentially, he says, verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I, God says, will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. God says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So the one who follows the experience and example of the psalmist who says, the Lord is my refuge, and this is what happened, and says, I'll make the Lord my refuge as well. Well, then God gives this promise of how he will take care of him. He will protect him. He will call upon me and I will answer him. And so here God speaks to the reader to declare what he will be and do for the true believer who looks to him and calls upon him and loves him. So I want us to look at some applications. That's the outline kind of structurally of this psalm. But what are some applications that flow out of Psalm 91 that help us understand it, but as we apply these, help us to grow in courage, in confidence in the Lord, and intimate faith in the Lord and strength in the Lord so that we're able to then walk with the Lord and serve him more effectively. Number one is belong to God in Christ. Belonging to God in Christ. I like what James Boyce said. He said the first point of application of Psalm 91 you don't want to miss is this. Is, you ask yourself, Christ the Lord your God? Is the God of the Bible, he says, your refuge in times of trouble? Are you turning to him, in other words? Are you really looking to him habitually? Have you found him? Are you regularly looking to him in prayer and in your quiet time and to the truth of his word to find help from him? Not just calling on him when you get yourself in a bind, but is he habitually becoming your refuge? Because the psalmist promises here, and what God does are only for those who find him and make him your refuge. I remember my first call in North Carolina many years ago, first church. I was going to church because I had an office there, and I arrived one day and there were about 9 cop cars that were surrounding the church building because I later found out that someone had broken in. You see, we had a lady, a next-door neighbor, who was really good at keeping an eye on everything. Or maybe she was a bit of a sticky beak. But I was glad that day. Because what had happened was that she had seen what had happened. And she had called the police. And the police were searching for this person, the thief, who broke in, for 9 hours to try to figure out what was going on. And they finally, after all those hours, found this man, a young man, who had broken into the church in this little secret storage closet, kind of down in the basement. Nobody had thought to look there. And there he was. And boy, I was glad for that neighbor lady who was nosing around and always watching who went to the church. And always constantly looking at those who came and went, because she really helped me that day. Because if she hadn't seen that thief go in, I was about to walk right into that and run into him probably that day or that morning. But she had called the cops and she had seen all that had happened. Now, the reality is that we all as Christians, we can think of different kind of situations where we have seen God be our refuge. Where he's looked after us. He's used angels. He's watched over us. He's delivered us. Maybe he used a lady who was nosy to do it. Maybe he used somebody else. But he watched over us and we're grateful. And now that guy, the thief, thought he found like some hiding place. Some secret place. But the real, only true place of security isn't a physical closet. No, it is as we grow as Christians to dwell and rest in the Lord God, the one who alone keeps us safe. See, the psalmist reminds us, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will find security and confidence in God's presence, in His power, and in His grace. And he gives us four metaphors here, analogies for God being our secret place and the security that we have in God. Did you notice that? That God is our shelter, He's our shadow, He's our refuge and our fortress. If we dwell in Him and trust in Him alone and find Him to be our refuge. The psalmist then also gives four names for God that give strength and substance to those analogies. Did you notice? God is the Most High. He's the Almighty. He's the Lord. He's my God. This is who God is for those that look to Him. Spurgeon said, "The blessings here in this psalm promise are not for all believers, but for those who live in close fellowship with the Lord." Is that you? He says, Spurgeon, "Every child of God looks forward or toward the inner sanctuary and the mercy seat. Yet all do not dwell in the most holy place. They might run to it at times. They enjoy occasional approaches to it, but they do not habitually reside in the mysterious presence." In other words, this psalm gives promises for those that remain habitually with God and walk with Him and cling to Him and trust in Him alone. So if there's a person here today, you say, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about." Well, if you haven't trusted through faith alone, by grace alone in Jesus Christ, you're not going to understand. You need to understand, first of all, what God did for you in Jesus Christ on the cross, that you can know Him and have an intimate relationship with Him and dwell in Him and remain in Him. But that's only the beginning point of faith. But that's the only way that anybody's going to be able to have any confidence and security is through faith in Christ and then dwelling with Christ. And that will grow and that will develop. And you say, if you say, "Well, I'm already a believer..." Well, that's awesome. But remember, your confidence is only found, this psalm tells us, through continual, habitual dwelling with Christ. Remaining in Him is what I'm saying. Spending time in His Word. Spending time consistently with Him in prayer. And looking to Him to help you. Leaning on Him alone in every situation. Like the Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths." See, we only experience what Psalm 91 pictures, which is the heart of the Christian life, as we continue to remain in Him and dwell in Him, as the psalmist says it. Remember what Jesus said in John 15? "If you remain in Me, and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and that'll be given to you." Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd, and you're the sheep, and you've got to stay close to Me, and that's where you alone find your safety, your strength. That's where you grow in confidence. That's where you know My wisdom. That's where the protection is." And that's what we're going to talk about later. It doesn't mean we don't face any trials. Don't misinterpret this psalm. But this is where our confidence is. And our confidence in the Lord is conditional. As the psalmist says, "If you make the Lord my God your refuge." Now, again, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that in any way our salvation is based on what we do. We're talking about growing in confidence here. We're talking about walking in fellowship, the blessings we have because we're saved. No, we're only saved by grace through faith alone, not in anything or because of anything that we do, but what Christ has done already. But I like what Boyce said in his commentary on the Psalms. He said, "This is more than merely believing in God or coming to Him occasionally when danger threatens. But it's about resting in God continually, growing to trust in Him and walk with Him at all times, living all of life in Jesus Christ." Someone shares the story I remember reading a while back of how their cat would just lie there in the floor between the kitchen and the dining room, you know, just plop down in the most highly trafficked area of the house. and just fall asleep. Just total trust that no one would step on it, you know. And someone could easily have done that, but this cat seemed to have confidence and complete confidence in its owners. It's a picture for us of God just wanting us to learn to trust in Him and nothing else. Rest in Him, knowing He knows what is best. You see, this is the emphasis from the beginning of Psalm 91. It's a believer who dwells with God in the secret place. It's not a physical place we dwell in, but it's an attitude, a mindset, and it's a habitual thing that we do. The believer who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The point being, if you dwell and remain in Him and continually come to Him and abide under the shadow of His protection, it becomes more and more real for you. You knowing that He's with you. Him giving you confidence and strength to live for Him and trust Him and serve Him courageously. And of course that doesn't mean there won't be any trials. But it does mean that in the ultimate sense, you'll know His confidence and strength, and you'll find Him protecting you and delivering you and giving you wisdom and helping and empowering you to make it through the trials that you face, because you know the Lord is with you all through the way. And you know ultimately that nothing will separate you, as Romans 8 says, from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. You grow to have that confidence to know that no matter what happens to me in this life, and even when I leave this world, nothing will separate me from that love. You know, Elizabeth Elliot titled her memoir of her husband, the missionary Jim Elliot, based off of Psalm 91, The Shadow of the Almighty. She tells a story in the book of how her husband and four other missionaries took the gospel to the Aucca Indians off the coast of Ecuador and were killed. But you see, for Elizabeth Elliot, this didn't disprove her husband and these missionaries' death, didn't disprove that God is the shadow of protection. No, but it reminded her that nothing would separate them from Christ's love, even death, in the end. Someone said she believed her husband's death did not mean that he left God's shadow, but that he came under His shadow in the most final way. I was reading the story about this plane in 1987 that crashed after it took off from Detroit in America, killing close to 200 people, but there was one survivor they found, a four-year-old little girl by the name of Celicia, and they assumed that she must have been one of the car passengers on the highway where the plane had crashed. But the passenger register for the flight had this little girl, the four-year-old girl's name on it. But here's the thing, what they discovered after research somehow, that the mother, as this plane was going down, Paula Chicon, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got on her knees as the plane was going down, and put herself in front of her daughter, wrapping her arms and body around her, not letting her go as that plane went down and crashed and ended up saving that little girl's life. Now, if nothing could separate a mother in her love for her from her child in that tragedy, I mean, if that's true of a mother's love, how much more true is it of the love of the Father who gave up His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us for eternity? This doesn't mean, of course, that we don't face the things this psalm talks about ever. That we'll never have infectious diseases. People misinterpret the psalm. That we'll never suffer from the devil's plots and schemes. We'll never have trials. Of course not. But it does mean those who trust in God will find habitually, and in lots of cases, they grow in confidence and they see God delivering them, and they have a peace in Christ and confidence that grows as they walk through the trials of this life. God is the Most High, the psalmist says, the Almighty, but He's only the shelter to those who dwell in Him and rest in His shadow of the Almighty God. Swindoll said, a refuge is a place of rest. A fortress, a place of defense. It's not that the Lord provides these things, he says, Swindoll. It's the Lord is these things. He's our fortress. He's our refuge. And that's why we've got to dwell in Him continually. Because Christ is in us and we're in Christ if we're believers. And that's where we find alone our rest and our strength and our defense. And those who habitually trust in Him and dwell in Him find that He delivers us from many trials and difficulties, and He brings us through. I remember reading the story about the CEO at the time of Hobby Lobby, this multi-million dollar craft and art company in America. They were going to, in the late 80s, have to foreclose, bankruptcy, and eventually. And although this seemed to be the worst thing that David Green, the CEO, could imagine, he looks back and sees it as a Christian, as a defining moment in his spiritual life. He said, "I know I prayed prior to that time, but that's when I got really serious about prayer." And so there in that corporate building, the space between his desk during that time became his prayer closet. And it said that David Green, the CEO of Hobby Lobby, would get under his desk in that corporate office every day at certain times, and it was like his little secret place, and he would seek God's help. And he looks back now knowing it was then in those times and God's response to those prayers that God used to help bring them through the trials and ultimately overcome bringing the company out from under that time of financial difficulty and get back on its feet again. David Green found this space between his desk as a prayer closet. So this doesn't mean we don't ever face problems. Sickness, death, there's heartaches. We won't avoid every enemy snare, an infectious disease like this psalm talks about, but we'll find, though, that God is with us. We discover how real He is in real life. The person who trusts in Him and makes God his dwelling place lives with the Lord, walks with the Lord in prayer each moment, and they find strength in His presence and the ability to persevere, and we find Him delivering us through many of the trials of life. So this is a psalm, I think, about habitual trust, consistent trust in the Lord through the trials that we face and how God helps us. How can we then, as we respond to this first point of belonging to Him, resting in Him, what will help us strengthen those ties? Number one, thankfulness to God. How many of us have looked at, like the psalmist seems to do here, what God has done to deliver us and to help us? It doesn't mean He delivers us from everything, no, but many times He has. How thankful are we, like the psalmist, for when God has delivered us and protected us from illness and taken us through trials and we've avoided things that could have destroyed us? Boy said, the words deadly pestilence and the pestilence that stalks in the darkness and the plague that destroys at midday help us to recall in our own lives many instances of such protection. See, one of these is focused, it seems, on potential snares that people bring. That's the fowler's snare, if you look there. And the other on particular problems that we might face in this life. That's the deadly pestilence. So people problems, particular problems and trials. But how many times do we find how the Lord has delivered us, how His angels have watched over us, how He has protected us from the daily grind of metaphorical stones that we could have stumbled over? Verse 12 says, "They will lift you, the angels, up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against the stone." Maybe we couldn't see how God was taking care of us at the time. It was only later on that we could see the picture. But God was with us. Are we grateful? I'll never forget one time when Austin, our oldest, was a little baby, and we were back many years ago. I was driving with him, and he was in the car seat coming around this corner, and this truck pulled out so fast, and the only thing I could do was to try to turn down the road that was right there to the right. And I don't know how the car didn't flip over, because I turned it so fast. But I now look back knowing it had to be God that kept that car up and kept us from crashing, from flipping. But little things that are really big things that sometimes we just overlook how God has protected us. The second thing is trust God specifically. A lot of people think Psalm 91 was written by Moses after the Exodus, and originally they were to hear it as they were in the desert, discontent and complaining, and they were to replace their discontent with a spirit of confidence in the God who blesses us and protects us from so many things. They were to hear this psalm, and it was to impact them originally as they were grumbling in the desert. Because we've got to trust God specifically in our own situations, just like they did, and apply this psalm to our lives today. Second thing is this: not only belong to God in Christ, we've got to boast of our relationship with God in Christ. If we want to grow in intimacy, I'll never forget when I took evangelism training years ago. It was called Evangelism Explosion. And one of the things that you learned to do was to share your testimony before you shared the gospel. And you would talk about the fact that before I had eternal life, I struggled with guilt. After I had eternal life, I have freedom in Christ. Before I had eternal life, I had no purpose. Now I've got purpose. You get the idea. Before I had eternal life, I felt like a failure. Now I have fulfillment. And then you would share the gospel. You'd say, the greatest benefit of knowing that I have eternal life in Christ is that I know that when I die, I'll go to heaven. See, this is what the psalmist is doing here in a way, because you notice the pronouns, the Lord is my refuge, I take refuge in Him. And then he says, if you will make the Lord your refuge. He's sharing his testimony. He is boasting of what God has done in his life. Like Jeremiah 9:23, boast in the Lord. Not in your riches, not in your wisdom, but that you know the Lord, Jeremiah 9:23 says. Paul says that he boasts in the cross of Christ alone. What do we talk about? If we want to grow in confidence in our walk with God, we always talk about sharing our faith. But what are we talking about? What is our conversation made up of? You know, Philemon, in the early verses of that little letter, it says that as you share your faith, you'll grow in knowing what that faith is. You want to know the confidence. You want to know what God is doing in your life, and you want to grow in confidence and intimacy with Him. Well, how much are we boasting about what God is doing in our everyday lives with our family, with our grandkids, with people that we come in contact with when we have opportunity? Are we talking about what the Lord is doing? Because in a sense, that's what the psalmist is doing here. He can't help but see how God's protecting him and watching over him has transformed his life from fear to faith, and giving him wisdom and strength in all that he's going through. And he wants other people of God and other people he talks to know about it. So he boasts. He's come to discover the difference that the Lord alone can make when you make the Most High God, the Almighty God, your shelter and your refuge. And he's wanting to encourage the whole covenant community, but also, I'd say, beyond that, to the lost, as we have opportunity to share. He's saying, He is my refuge, and surely God will save you as you make Him your dwelling place. No harm will befall you. As I said, there's something about telling others about our relationship with Christ that boosts our confidence in Jesus Christ. When we live in this world and we can struggle with our faith and things are difficult and scary, and it builds our courage and confidence when we boast and we remember what God has done. And that leads me to number three. Not only belong to God in Christ and boast about your relationship with Christ, but this psalm and application tells us especially be bold about God or for God in Christ. Be bold. Be courageous. One time Charles Spurgeon had only been in London, it said, true story, for about 12 months. And many in his congregation at the time, sadly, were getting sick and they were dying. It said that as a young pastor, Spurgeon spent most of his days during that year going around and visiting the sick, where there was hardly a day, it said, when he didn't comfort a family over the death of a loved one. Well, he got very emotionally spent, as you can understand, and physically drained. And he was ready almost to sink under, it said. He was returning home one day from a funeral, and young Charles Spurgeon noticed a sign up on this shop, and it had a verse from Psalm 91. It said, because thou hast made the Lord your refuge, there shall be no evil befalling thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. And Spurgeon said, this boosted him, encouraged him so that time, because he was reassured that as he was ministering for the Lord, God was with him. God would take care of him. And I think the point for us as Christians who know the Lord and are called to serve and witness for the Lord is that we can't get focused on the fact that God won't deliver us. No, are we promised that we won't have trials, that we won't have sickness? No, but we need to be focused on the fact that the Lord is with us, that He can deliver us, and many times He does. And what we must remember is many times God provides protection as we call out to Him in prayer, and our goal has to be to draw near to Him, to make Him our refuge, and to call out to Him and go where He calls us to boldly with courage. Because as we seek to carry out Christ's mission and serve, and sometimes it's scary, and sometimes it feels very dangerous, and it is, Psalm 91 encourages us to trust Him, to be bold and trust Him and look to Him, not to be stupid, not to test Him, but to trust Him. And God wants to use those times where we learn to lean on Him, and when we have to, so that we'll grow, so that we'll look to Him in prayer, so that we'll be strengthened in faith. We see in verse 4 that there are two images here as we're bold for Christ. You notice verse 4. First of all is the image of the mother with her sheltering wings. And it's the principle of God covering us, caring for us. The application is we find refuge under His wings. We see it in this mother bird who protects her young. He will cover you, the psalmist says, with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. See, the picture is of like a baby bird who's under that mother's wing, feeling that comfort and strength in that mother. It's not because there aren't things going on around the bird and that there aren't any dangers, but that baby bird under the shadow of the mother's wings is protected from what? Seeing it all. See, it sees things differently, and that's the picture for us. When we trust in the Lord and we look to His Word and we're depending on Him in prayer, we grow to know His great love, that He's watching over us, and He calms our fears. And that's what happens for those that grow in faith and trusting Him. He shelters us, and we see things differently. We see the world with God's eyes and more with His view, knowing His power. Not that the pain and problems disappear, but knowing more and more that God is with us and He's in control. That's what we want to grow in. So we find refuge under the shelter of His wings. Number two is the principle of combat and commitment. And the application here in this image in verse 4, the second one, is that we fight with His Word through faith. The second image there is of a warrior's armor, did you notice? His faithfulness, one translation says, will be your shield and rampart. The King James Version says, I think it hits it well, His truth will be your shield and your buckler. And the idea is of God's character here, which is represented in His truth. The more we're in God's Word, the more we know who He is, we know His character that's in His truth. That's where our confidence is. And so Christians have the role of abiding, dwelling in Him, the shelter of the Most High, resting under His shadow. And we do that as we get into His Word and we know God's character that is reliable, and then we act based on that character. We fight for God's glory, going where He's called us to go with boldness, and we know He's with us because we know His truth is our shield and buckler. We know He's with us through His Word. But that takes time as we rest in His Word, as we learn His Word, as we learn His ways. And then we're encouraged as His truth is our shield and buckler. And we discover more of what He calls us to do. And we find that He's faithful more and more as we're bold for Him to take care of us and to protect us. It doesn't mean there's no danger. Of course not. I like what Swindoll said. He said, Nothing can hold us together and keep us from panic the way specific verses of God's Word do. And if you fail, he says, to set your heart on God's Word, you'll soon weaken in your resistance and succumb to the traps of the enemy. We need to be in God's Word and meditate on God's Word, Swindoll saying. And this is the concept that we see in Ephesians 6. The shield of faith, right? The belt of truth. It's all about the faithfulness of God in His Word and us knowing it and resting in it and relying on it and going out in battle and finding that He's with us. Not that we're trying to test Him. We're trusting Him. And the psalmist found that to be true. Real faith is not just about knowing more doctrinal facts, though we certainly do that. But it's about knowing the living God of the Bible in Christ and walking by faith, experiencing moment by moment His faithfulness and seeing Him take care of us as we walk with Him, as we witness for Him. We trust Him and rest on Him, and we make Him our dwelling place, and we learn His ways, and we humbly go where the Lord calls us to go, and we ask Him for grace and help along the way. And He gives it to us. He helps us. Donald Williams said, as we disclose ourselves to God, He will disclose Himself to us. And Satan will be locked out more and more from our hearts as God's kingdom reigns there. He says that's what it means to dwell in the secret place, to be hidden and covered by the Almighty. Our only safety, folks, is in walking with our shepherd, staying close to Him and His Word, feeding on His truth, keeping intimate contact with Him, and then living for Him as we trust Him. We can't fight without faith, and that faith is only strengthened through God's truth, consistently. And I remember years ago watching the show, and I liked to watch it, I think, because it was a bit fascinating, but yet sad at the same time. And it took place back in America in an area that I had visited one time. The show was called Snake Salvation. And it was about some of these small churches in certain areas that, you know, you have 15 people and they handle snakes in the service and do all of these things. And sadly, they've misunderstood God's Word. They've misunderstood Mark 16. They've taken those type of things completely out of context as they're trying to handle venomous snakes, you know. And even some of the pastors through the years, sadly, have died from snake bites. But the point, really, and the biggest problem that I find with this kind of thing is they've lost the focus on the mission. The mission becomes all about getting snakes and who can handle the snakes. And they totally lost the focus on the fact that places like Mark 16 and when Paul is protected from a snake bite in the book of Acts, that was all about them going out in mission with the gospel and doing what God called them to do. And along the way, God will protect you if He decides to. And He certainly can protect you. But the mission isn't about, of course, getting snakes and holding snakes in church. But the point is, we walk in God's ways and we find the great mission He's called us to is greater than anything else we can face even. And so He'll take care of us as we're courageous, as we live for Him. It doesn't mean we test Him. It doesn't mean we put ourselves in bad situations, but that we know He is faithful to take care of us, and so we grow in that courage as we walk with the Lord. It assures us more and more that God's with us along the way. Remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the desert in Matthew 4 and Luke 4? Remember, the devil, in one of the temptations he gave him, quotes Psalm 91. Remember? But he actually, it's the only place we have where the devil quotes Scripture, and of course he misquotes it. Because he doesn't talk about how, in all God's ways, He'll protect you. He misquotes that phrase in verse 11 of Psalm 91. But the point is, of course, Jesus knows this. And He knows that He's trying to get Him to test the Father, and He won't give in to it. Because the enemy says to Jesus, well, the Father, you know, He'll use His angels. If you jump off the Temple Mount, God will use His angels. You remember what Psalm 91 says, Jesus? And Jesus quotes back out of Deuteronomy 6:16, of how the Jews had tested God instead of trusting God. God's the one who tests us. We don't try to test Him. We trust Him. And that's at the heart of temptation, isn't it? The enemy wanted Jesus to go His own way, the shortcut, instead of the way that's the Father's way. And we've got to grow to walk with the Father in His Word and be obedient to Him, knowing that as we walk with Him, He's promised He'll take care of us in the ultimate way in whatever we go through. And ultimately, He will take care of us even though we face trials in this world and death. Ultimately, nothing will separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So we can be courageous. And we can be bold. So let's ask for God's grace as we close, that we might grow closer to Him and walk with Him in faith. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come before You today. We're thankful, Lord, for Your Word in the Psalms. And we pray that, Lord, this Psalm might encourage us in making You our refuge more and more. And in telling others about how You can be that refuge for them. Give us courage, give us boldness, Lord, as we stand for You, to know, Lord God, that though we face trials in this world, You've promised to give us strength and encouragement and deliverance, Lord God, through trials many times as we look to You. Help us to walk with You in faith and to experience Your grace and Your direction more and more in this life as we look to Your return. And Lord, we pray that You'll build us up in Your truth. Your truth will be that shield and buckler, and that we'll experience the refuge of Your wing, being under the shadow of Your wings, and seeing things from Your viewpoint, knowing that You're with us until the very end of the age. We love You, Lord, and we ask for Your blessing as we go out to serve You this week. We pray, Lord God, that You'll give us the words to speak, and boldness in how we live, and also in sharing our faith and sharing the gospel. We give You all thanks in Jesus' name.